When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, cleaning up my mess. The caller was from Astoria. The guy that called was Barry from Astoria.
Yeah.
St. John's is not in Astoria. St. John's Prep is in Astoria, by the way, in case you were wondering. No, Jamaica or Ray, you live in Queens. The address says Queens, which is hilarious to me because I thought you needed like a little more specific on your address when it comes to mailing address. But St. John's is it Jamaica?
Yeah, I think it's considered Jamaica. I mean, right? Astoria, when it comes to Queens, there's basically like four Utopia. Major areas. There's like four major areas of Queens, right. And then they break them all down to try and make them sound more hoity-toity. Like people around there might be like, "We're from Hillcrest or Fresh Meadows." Yeah, it's all Jamaica.
Exactly. But it's that's why Bart was saying what he was saying, because you know like there are some parts of Jamaica Queens like by the train station. Which,
that's where 50 was from, man.
Yeah. Okay.
50.
That's a selling point.
Exactly. But yeah, the caller was from Astoria, so I'm just like the you know just aimlessly just blurting out Queens cities, but yeah, but still far enough from the point I'm making though. Is where it's located, which
that's
is
far, that's far as hell
far
from
enough
the city,
from
bro.
Manhattan that it's far as not hell really from Manhattan.
City. Yeah, that's far as hell from the city. You if you go there once a month, that's a lot for a player. You don't really travel that far.
No, but it's and then facility wise, everything else, it is obviously a struggle. So I just wanted to clean that up because yes, okay, made a mistake. 800-919-3776. That's we're into hour number two. We'll continue to take your calls on all things again, Tyron Bing Smith to the Jets. And then St. John's being snubbed, although as Patino said, we're not gonna make a big deal about it. And he's getting right to his recruiting. But yes, the Knicks play tonight against the Golden State Warriors as they continue their tour in the Western Conference.
They had a schedule.
They are. You had them losing that game in Sacramento on Saturday night, and Jalen Brunson, 45 points. No, I thought it was going to be a good game. I'm telling you, I thought it was going to be a good game because they're two evenly matched teams.
I thought the Sacramento played so fast, you know what I'm saying?
They do, yep. Yeah, they held them to 90, what did they hold them to, 91 points? They average 121 points per game at home, and they scored 91. And Sabonis, even though he got his double-double streak, continues. Can you believe he's had 49 straight double-doubles? The record is 53. Do you know who holds it?
Z-Bo.
Kevin Love.
Yeah, we know. Because Kevin Love in Minnesota didn't have nothing else to do. They weren't winning, so he just got all the stats.
He was an incredible rebounder for a guy that doesn't jump that high. So that was it was a really good game for the Knicks, a really good win for the Knicks, and one that puts him at 2-0 on a four-game road trip. That now continues tonight against Steph Curry, who came back Saturday night against the Lakers. Steph Curry's back. Curry and the Warriors tonight in Golden State. But if you look on the official NBA injury report, the Knicks have already listed as out for tonight OG Anunoby. They are 15-2 when he plays.
Yeah.
The numbers are ridiculous. Defensive numbers are off the charts when he plays.
Right.
Him out of the lineup tonight against Golden State has me... I have a large amount of worry for tonight's game.
So is that Achiuwa or Hart on Kuminga? Because that's the guy who got him last time.
It's
Kuminga.
It's going to be Hart.
They can't deal with.
Yeah, it's got to be Hart. It's got to be Hart. And, you know, Achiuwa is really
enough?
More
is
of a Draymond.
Is Hart tall enough to deal with Kuminga?
Well, he's playing three.
Kuminga's like, what, six? But Achiuwa's taller than Hart.
Not much bigger. Yeah, but Achiuwa's going to be dealing with Draymond Green. You know, and then Hartenstein plays the center position. So you're that, but I mean, the bigger question is Dante versus Steph Curry again. You remember the last game. So when they played, when the Golden State was here
was
a couple
there,
weeks ago.
Remember? I was there.
The first 10 minutes of that game, the Knicks couldn't
Damian
make a
was
basket.
There too.
Right?
Yeah.
The Knicks couldn't shoot. It was an awful start. They ended up closing the game late where they were down, I think, by as many. They cut it to four, and Curry made a couple of great shots, and the game was over. But the point is, you want to get that? The point is that tonight without OG.
Spam, too.
Yeah. Spam likely. That's my cousin Spam. He crazy. But, like, it's like with and without OG Anunoby are things you can't overlook this. It's incredible how much better they are. They have been on a historic run defensively with him in the lineup. You take him out. Now, this is, they call it, by the way, if you're wondering what the injury is, it's the elbow injury that he obviously had the elbow scoped and they took out some bone spurs. He had been feeling it against Portland. It was bothering him. He stayed in the lineup to play against the Kings. Couldn't shoot the bat. He's 1-for-8. You could see he couldn't shoot. But he played just be a defensive presence, and it still made an impact on the game despite the fact that he couldn't do anything offensively. They're calling this right elbow injury management.
Yeah.
So they're giving him a night off, basically.
Yeah, it's the swelling and stuff like that. It gets a little tight. You know, sometimes I wake up, I can't straighten my elbow all the way. Everything's get tight, but he'll be fine. It's just a lot going on so early. You know, back from the injury, the back-to-back, so the games, you know.
Well, he just played Saturday night. He had an off day today. It must be just getting tight on him or swelling. Yeah. Something's going on in there.
Because they know they're going to need him for Michael Porter. So pick one. Like, if this a game that you might be able to get through because the Warriors are small. You know, so this might be one you have to get through. But Michael Porter, how big and long and athletic Denver is, you're like, all right, let's try and get that one. Let's see if we can get through this one. So,
you're right about that. See, you look at it this way too. Look at the schedule. You play tonight. If he plays Saturday, that's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The next game is Thursday at Denver. So you're giving him 4 days off.
Right. And that then you can get maintenance and all the treatment and stuff. And then plus, you know, these next two games, they need to get one. They need to get one. And then they pretty much are on a 4-game homecoming trip. You know what I mean? Brooklyn at home, Pistons, even though my Pistons, bro. I don't even care about the losing. No, I like how they look.
Yes. They are starting to look like a team that next year you would hope that by next year that they'll have it together. Because they do look like, yeah, they added some pieces. Taj Gibson effect.
Right. Then they have the Raptors and then the Spurs.
Yeah, the Net game, the Nets look like they've just let go of the rope. It's crazy. Like it's terrible. I
mean, they're making moves in the offseason for sure.
Oh, they have to. They have to. But they, you know, like you could just see, like there's just something missing. Maybe they don't know who the alpha is there.
They're missing Shane Falco. I need heart.
Yeah. Oh, but seriously, think about it. They looked at Mikal Bridges and said, "You are our main piece. We're going to build around you." And Mikal Bridges might be like, yeah, but that's not really who I am. Because they don't really look like they have a leader.
Yeah, everybody's not a lady man.
You know, like, and it takes a lot to be that guy to command the room and kind of like take it. All right, give me the, like what Jalen Brunson did in Sacramento. What he did in Sacramento, that fourth quarter was ridiculous. You see what he did to that kid?
Yeah, I did. Look away. Whoopsies. Yeah, set me the screen, dummy.
I mean, he did some Patrick Mahomes
then
stuff.
Then he turned around like, huh? He turned around like, whoa.
That poor kid, man, he's a meme now.
Thing is, he can't be. You can tell he was just overactive. He was looking left. Every point, he looked left.
Here comes the screen.
He hit him with the dumb dog. You know when you have your dog and you fake throw the ball and he runs?
I want to ask a question, though, because, again, Brunson was – I mean, he was spectacular. 45 points. And again, the effort that he did, it was in the paint, the way he could just maneuver screens, his footwork.
He worked hard for his points, though, man.
I don't think so. I actually think the opposite. I don't think he really – he went back-to-back 40s. Only three other players in franchise history have done that. You're talking about Carmelo Anthony, Patrick Ewing, and Bernard King. And Bernard King's back-to-backs were 50s, by the way. But it didn't seem like in Portland that wasn't a hardworking 40.
Yeah, yeah.
That Portland 40 was like almost matter of fact. And as ordinary of a 40, like you look up, you're like, whoa, he's got 40? But he did. The one in Sacramento, it was a lot. That's a very physical game. I actually loved that game because it was physical.
come down, shoot the three.
But he looked like, yeah, yeah, he does that three sniff thing. But he looked like he turned it up a notch in the second quarter, and it never felt like he was like he looked like almost like he was at a level they couldn't get to. The Kings, they couldn't get to.
I swear I saw him wave Tibbs off a couple of times about from coming to take him out.
Okay. Well, if you noticed, they bought time in the fourth quarter because Burks actually was playing decent instead of not well. Burks was playing well enough that Tibbs could buy another minute, like almost 2 minutes more before he brought Jaylen back in the game, and that was helpful. But I'm telling you, what Brunson is doing is really special. It's there's another level to it I can't even explain. But I want to ask you, Bart, because we've been talking about this, and now the league put out a memo, and this has become a thing. I was watching Wembanyama last night, and he's ridiculous. And I'm thinking, we all want the league to trend back to more physical, don't we?
We do. I do.
Like, we like that. And if you watch the game, the Knicks-Sacramento game was a physical game, but it wasn't like an out-of-hand physical game. It was just, this is good. Like, you can see it. They're just letting them battle, and yet you were still able to get off your shots. It wasn't something that was completely out of control. And if we like that and want it in the game, guy like Brunson at 6'2", who can take the contact, who wants the contact, he'll thrive. But what about a guy like Wembanyama? 7'3", very skinny, incredibly skilled. But if I can lean on him, is that going to change his trajectory of his potential for the league as one of the top players? Like, is it going to affect
I don't think so, because he's starting to not be so skinny. If you look at him, like, it's rare that I've ever seen somebody gain muscle mass during the season. But
you're right. I think at the end, he's playing better now than he did at the beginning of the season. He doesn't look like he's dropping off and hitting that wall.
And he's gaining muscle mass. So they clearly have a plan for him, because I know they don't play. He has days off, stuff like that.
Right.
I think those days off are lift days. Like,
good.
He looks like his arms and his body is getting more mature.
Good.
So I think he'll be able to handle it. Now, remember, Giannis was like that, right? Giannis was way skinny. He was
skinny. Wiry.
He looked malnourished.
But Giannis was wiry. Like, you could see
looked malnourished.
You think
like,
so?
Like, Wembanyama looks like it's starting to mature. I can see him gaining weight like Giannis did. And if he gains weight like Giannis did,
Just not too much.
But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, not Mitchell Robinson, but like Giannis.
Yeah.
Look out, because then he can handle that physicality, and that physicality is different because that weight is spread out over 7'6". So he may not look like he's heavy and hard to deal with and strong. Mm-hmm. But he will be, because he's going to have leverage over you.
So are we all in agreement that bringing physicality back to the NBA is something we're all for? 800-919-3776. Here's Brunson on the physicality of that game in Sacramento.
They came out with great energy. This place is phenomenal to play. I mean, their crowd is great. Much respect to them and their fan base. But I heard Knicks Nation out here too. But great place to play. You know, there's a lot of energy. We had to just find a way. You know, they came out, started playing well with a lot of energy. We tried to match it, and we just made a couple more plays at the end.
This is the thing with him now going into the playoffs, because we don't know what Randall's going to be, right? Anunoby, you can see the elbow is just going to be a thing, and you're worried about that. But when he's in the lineup, they're a better defensive team. You understand, like a game like tonight, you know, Steph is Steph. You know, you saw Kuminga just destroyed the Knicks last time they saw him. You know, Clay has nights where he can still detonate a little bit, even though it's not every night anymore. But the Warriors can score. The Knicks, it's essentially Brunson and what? Like, there's really nothing. DiVincenzo's been in a slump now these last eight games, shooting under 30% from three. That's not good. So who else is going to get you offense? You are basically now a one-man show offensively, and that's your major concern. You know, Ken Brunson, when you get into the playoffs and teams are game planning for him, like, you had to hear Mike Brown after the game. Mike Brown after the game was like, we doubled him almost the whole game. He's like, I don't know if we've only doubled one other player that much in a game, and that was Steph Curry, and he still got 45.
Yeah.
So they were throwing length at him. They were throwing big bodies to bump him.
Doubles at him, yep.
And it didn't matter. So can you live with this with Brunson? Or is the Knicks season and the ability even to get out of the first round going to hinge on whether or not Julius Randle and OG Anunoby are healthy enough to give something so that Brunson is not carrying the scoring load like he is right now.
Well, it has to be DiVincenzo, too. He has to get back, you know, to shooting at a high percentage, right? And, you know, he's going through a slump, but I think he'll get out of it. I think it's more rest. Those 4 days and those easy games against the Pistons and the Nets, I think allows him to get his confidence back and get his legs back under him. He's missing because of his legs. He's tired, man. He's put a lot of work in. He helped try to carry this team when Brunson was banged up and, you know, through all that. So, like, you know, you're seeing the ill effects of I think, that stretch that he went through where he was playing, you know, damn near 40-something-plus minutes.
It's true. It catches up. It's so funny, too, when you think about it. You look at stars, and this is what makes you really marvel about the NBA, is when you think that a lot of fans always say, just give him an opportunity. You understand that not everybody can do what LeBron, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, like what those guys can do. Think about what every night, 35-plus minutes, and they're scoring over 30 a night. You know how hard – like, it's that's really hard to do. So when you go, like, to a guy like Dante DiVincenzo, who's not a good NBA – but he's a really good NBA player, right? Really good. But then you say to him, all right, not only am I going to take you from 31, 32 minutes a game, I'm going to get you to 40. So 8 more minutes a game every night, and you're going to take, instead of 8 shots a game, you're going to take 12 to 15 shots a game. It's just very difficult to do. It's such a jump for, like, a good NBA player. I should say he's a good NBA player.
Overextending him.
Not everybody can do it. You could do it for a shirt to, like, I could be a really good, like, supporting cast starter in the NBA, which is what DiVincenzo is. But now I'm asking you not to be a star. I need you to now be a number two offense guy. Whoa. That's a big jump, and it's hard to do. You could do it for 5 games. You might even do it for 7-8 games. But what I got to do for 18 to 20 games, it's really hard to do. And that's what the Knicks are learning from what they've got. And then you trade for Burks, you trade for Bogdanovich, and you hope – off the bench, they can provide offense, and neither guy can get going.
Nothing.
You finally got something in Sacramento. That's a good sign. But against Golden State, if you start out the game ice cold like you did the last time, you're missing shots. The Knicks are bad from three now since All-Star break. Really bad. If you start missing shots against them, you'll be down 20 in a blink again.
I mean, they just saw them, and they got embarrassed, and they got out to a fast start. So I can't expect the Knicks to come out and have a slow start again. I think they'll have a lot of emphasis in making sure they start fast, have their sets right, and know how, you know, Golden State tried to play them and how they tried to attack them last time. I think they'll be a little bit better equipped. I think it'll be a much closer game early on.
Well, you hope so. Because for the Knicks, they've already at least got a split on this trip. You get greedy, now you want one more and see if you can go home 3-1, which would be amazing, right? At worst, 3-1. But right now, at worst, you'll be 2-2. And if I told you that going into this trip, would you sign up for it? Of course you would.
I think I had a draw like 2-2. I think I had them 2-2, right?
Did you? No. You didn't have them winning. You had them winning Portland and losing the next three. You also had them losing to Orlando. Remember when we did the win-loss?
Well, they haven't lost. They had beat Orlando.
Right. Well, they did.
I'm just using the analytics. I can't use analytics. Everybody else can use analytics.
What are you, Ken Palm now? You're Ken Palm?
You know what I'm saying?
All right. Bart Palm?
You know what I'm saying?
800-919-3776. Scott's in Manhattan. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Listen, I'm an old school guy. Love the bang. But I don't want to see that 79-81 scores anymore. Listen, I want to see the ball movement. I want to see the splash. Listen, so all those old games, I mean, I like back in the days with the Elvin Hayes and all those guys banging bodies in the Moses, but still, that's gone. You know, let the ball move around, let it keep moving, let the ball fly, you know, let the game go as it's going now.
Did you watch the Saturday game, the Knicks-Kings game? Did you get a chance to see that?
Yeah, I got some of it. Because I saw the happen. I came in one time. I was out and I ran to the barn. I looked and I saw it was 68-68. I said, "Oh wow!" I said, "Cool." It was a banger. Yeah,
it was physical, and yet the scoring was low. Neither team got to 100.
Yeah,
I thought it was an entertaining game. Like, I didn't find it to be like a bad game. I thought it was even though it was under 100 for both teams. It was physical. It was entertaining. Like, the atmosphere there was off the charts. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It all depends on what kind of game you get. But, I do think we're going to see, Scott, you don't want to take completely away from the offense, but I do think we're going to see the league, and they put out the memo, They're going to start to let a little more physicality go with the idea that what they're trying to do is say you can't hunt for fouls anymore. We're not going to let you because, you know, I don't have a chance to score here, so I'm just going to run into a guy and try to draw a foul. Like, I don't think they're going to allow that anymore. So some of these bumps that used to just be – and I hate the fact that if you're going to let it go physical, don't call the ticky-tack foul, please. Like, let's keep the momentum going. Billy in Long Island, Billy.
Hey, guys. Love your show. Hartenstein did a phenomenal job.
Yes.
Boxing that other guy out. He got into it. Sabonis. I forget his name.
Sabonis.
Yeah. Shut him down. He was doing nothing third and fourth quarter there.
Fourth quarter, he had 0 points. He did not score in the fourth quarter, which is amazing to think about it.
Right. And then, you know, we had good contribution from Burke and Bogdanovich. You know, they had a couple of key baskets right in there when we were getting, you know, looking for a good hoop. And like you said, it was physical, and I hope they don't call the tic-tac stuff. There was one or two, you know, calls that they made, but I think the refs did a pretty good job on Saturday night. It was great to see the Knicks, you know, come out of that one with the W.
Yeah, that's a big one. Again, on this trip, thank you, Billy. That's a big one on this trip because now, again, it sets you up for these games. You can afford to look at OG. All right, give you tonight. You get 4 days off. Play in Denver against the defending champs. The Knicks, by the way, they've beaten Denver 3 straight times. That's hard to believe, but it's true. They got both last year. They got the one at the Garden this year.
What?
So, yeah, suddenly they've got their number. So Thursday becomes an interesting game if OG can get back in the lineup. And then you come back from the trip, and as I said, my eyes are keeping an eye on Julius Randle. Can they get him this week ready to play Saturday?
Bring him back against Brooklyn?
Can you get him ready? They haven't cleared him yet for contact. He'd have to get cleared sometime this week for that to become a reality. But it's something I'm keeping an eye on, Bart, because, you know, it's important. Now, Dave in the car has a question for you, Bart. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, what's up, Bart? I want to ask a question. I want to see how this works. I'm glad that the Jets solidified their line. When I look over the past few years, and the guy who answered the phone corrected me on this, Vera Tucker wasn't injured on that turf. But when you look at the two Niners who went down, against the Jets during the COVID season, when you look at the injuries that have happened on that particular turf, especially as a veteran in the NFL, as a player, let's just say those guys go out there, touch the grass a little bit, and they go, hey, you guys really need to address this before we get out here and start doing our workouts. This turf isn't up to snuff. They might touch that turf and say, hey, we visited here a couple of times every other year, but now we're playing here for half the season. It's got to be better than this. What action could the NFL do at that point, or would that reside on the Jets' ownership over the stadium?
The issue is Jets and Giants, right? And I think Woody addressed it when he talked about, hey, we've had discussions about it. You know, we have a lot of events here. I mean, remember, the turf that the 49ers got hurt on, though, that was a different type of turf. This is new turf, a different brand of turf that they have right now. So they've tried to change the turf. I know I figure what you're asking me is, will they go to grass? Well, they're going to change the grass for the World Cup. Let's see if they decide to keep it that way. But the problem is they have so many, you know, events there, Summer Jam, WrestleMania, and they want to have a more durable surface, synthetic surface. So let's see. But I think – it should be. I mean, it's more expensive for grass because of the maintenance, but you're only talking about, you know, playing on it 8 times.
Still.
Pretty much 16 times when you talk about the Jets and Giants. So, I mean, you're splitting the cost, so who cares how expensive it is?
And the fact that Garrett has talked about his concerns for it makes me concerned. That's all. If I'm the owner, that the first thing that comes to mind is, are my players – is it on their minds? Are they concerned? If that's a concern for the players, it's a concern for me.
Sterling Shepard tore his. He was just jogging.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. You know, but if you're an owner, that's the first thing. If a player comes to me and says, I got to be honest with you, when I'm on this thing, I just know I can't really go the way I normally can go. I know I can't.
Well, afraid to
wait
stop
a minute. Why
pass.
Not? Yeah.
Receivers are running and stopping. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So if I'm hearing that, okay, no, I don't like this then. I need the best for my players, so they can play without thinking. So it's not in the back of his mind that he's worried about taking a bad step because this turf is bothering him. That would drive me crazy as an owner. All right, we will continue with your calls, 800-919-3776. But coming up, it is Audiophiles, and in it, a former coach calls out St. John's for not going to the NIT. I'll give you my take on that and more. Steve Cohen also on the state of the Mets. Lots to do in Audiophiles next, Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN. But first, from upsets to buzzer beaters, nothing compares to college basketball in March. I'll tell you what. Nothing beats that Jalen Suggs buzzer beater that you saw a couple years ago to get to the national championship game against UCLA. What a shot that was. Imagine that. Sometimes, though, you're on the wrong end of those moments, and that's why FanDuel is giving everyone a no-sweat bet from now until March 20th. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get bonus bets back if your bet doesn't win. You can even use your no-sweat bet on a college basketball parlay. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app if you don't already have it by going to FanDuel.com/Allen. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. 21 or older, physically present in New York. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So the Knicks back in action tonight as they continue their road trip facing off against the Warriors. Jalen Brunson coming off that 42-point performance last time out, becoming just the fourth player in franchise history with 40 or more in consecutive games. And earlier this morning on DPH and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave wonder just how great Jalen Brunson is.
With how good he is, I mean, at a position that we desperately needed for how long? Like, I just, like, in the effect he has on winning, the effect he's had on the culture of this team, I mean, is he the best Knick we've had since Ewing?
Better than Randall.
Yeah, he's better than Randall. I think the question is
he better than Carmelo Anthony is the question, right?
Well, Carmelo with the Knicks? I think all in for everything that he brings? Probably.
I would think so, too.
I mean, he's been that good for us.
I would think so, too. Yeah. I think, can you argue that he's the best Knick since Patrick Ewing?
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we got your calls, 800-919-3776. We'll get back to those. Plenty more to get into as we keep an eye on week two of the NFL free agency season. And some interesting names still very much available. And the Jets meeting with Mike Williams today. Tyron Smith is in the fold. David Clowney also supposed to be meeting with the Jets as well. So Joe Douglas not done. Lots more to get to. But right now, Bart, it's time for us to step aside. Let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
All right, audio files begins with a disappointment from Selection Sunday, at least locally. St. John's not invited to the dance. They are out despite the fact they made a push late in the season, and some of the analytics said that they were right there on the bubble or had a chance to be in. They had a great battle with UConn in the semifinal, just could not overcome UConn, which ended up winning the Big East Championship, and they have a top seed in the tournament. Joe Lenardi explains on ESPN Radio why St. John's was left out.
I think Villanova's collapse hurt St. John's because those were two of the Johnny's signature wins during the year, one by 10 on the road and by 20 at home. And, you know, Villanova was pretty bad at the end. By all rights, should have gone out a night earlier in the Big East against DePaul.
Yes.
Some of it was out of St. John's control. And outside of the Villanova sweep, the wins just weren't there.
Weren't there for the NCAA tournament, but the NIT did invite St. John's into its tournament. And as we know, they go back 100 years, St. John's, NIT. There's always been something special about it. But Rick Pitino declined, saying that the program now needs to focus on the portal and getting players and building for next season. Tom Crean, former coach, of course, and now an analyst, he had a problem with that.
I love what I'm doing here at ESPN. I really do. I love the people I work with, whether I'm doing games, whether I'm in the studio. I love that, and I love being a part of a group. I would walk barefoot to go coach a team tomorrow to practice to get ready to play in the tournament, to play in the NIT. And I don't have any sympathy. I get it. You know, people, well, you don't understand. The portal's this and the NIL this, and we got to get into the portal. We've got the biggest staffs we've ever had in college basketball. Okay, we've got more coaches than we've ever had. The better teams have general managers. The going rate for the portal right now and for paying, you know, NIL, whatever we want to call it, last year it might be $350,000 to $400,000, maybe high end, to get somebody. Maybe it started at 250, got to 350, 400, 450. Some people in the 600s. I'm sure there are even people that are more. Okay. It's in the 350 to 400s and a lot of times right now in the power fives to start. You know what? So what?
You know what? So what? In my opinion, Bart?
Yeah.
So what is that the NIT is no longer at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. No,
all right. That's a relationship that ended a couple of years ago. And if you're St. John's,
what are we doing?
What's the benefit?
Half of these guys are going to hit the portal, maybe hit the portal anyway. Or are we going to replace them when we go into the portal to get guys? And guys are going to say, well, you got this guy here, so I know I'm not going to play, so I'm out. So you better get a jump and start talking to these guys and get into some ears and see, you know, out of the teams that didn't make the tournament or make the tournament, who do we want? Who are we interested in? Start having conversations with them, bringing them down. Like, nobody's going to say, oh, man, they in the NIT, y'all. Like, this is a team that's on the cusp. That's back in the day. That doesn't work anymore. Nobody cares what a team does in NIT. They're not looking at them like, oh, man, they made a hell of a run in NIT, man. That's a good basketball team.
I agree.
Nobody cares about that.
Think about this. There was a time the NIT served a great purpose for, like, let's say, a big-time program that was starting out, and they had, like, a really good freshman class, and you just wanted to grow it, and you thought, oh, we'll get a taste of winning, and we'll know what it's like for next year. Right? That used to be the story. The NIT now, you have a good freshman class. They're either all in the NBA the following year or they're transferring out to other places if you didn't have a successful season. That's right. Just reality of it. So instead, the NIT has become a really good showcase for mid-majors. That's a real thing, and that's okay. But if you're asking St. John's to come and try to play in the NIT and just for a chance to play at Hinkle Fieldhouse.
And then if you get bounced in NIT early, then people are really going to criticize you.
Yeah. Like, so, damn. It's unfortunate. The NIT was once something that was a cool thing. There was a time where, hey, you can get to the Final Four, play at the Garden. That could be fun. That is a real thing. That's gone now. And so anybody criticizing St. John's for declining, you're not paying attention. So I get what Tom Crean's saying about some other programs, but for St. John's, no. It makes no sense. I have no problem with it at all. Moving on. So as we get closer and closer to the start of the baseball season, always good to hear from the owners. Steve Cohen of the Mets did speak. And first and foremost, we thought this was going to be a big story throughout spring training. Pete Alonso needs a contract after this year. And Cohen gave us an update on that situation.
We haven't had any discussions. And I think at this point, I think, you know, as far as for Pete, it's best for him to go, you know, have a great year and not be distracted. I think it's best for the ball club. We know how to do this. You know, we did it with Edwin. We did it with Brandon after the season. And so, you know, we'll figure it out when we get there.
Prove it year, Bart. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, if he wants it, I mean, we saw it with Aaron Judge.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Go do your thing. Be the best version of yourself. Go get that cheese. Go get that money.
Wouldn't it suck if the Yankees just offered him some money and he came up play first base for the Yankees? That'd be sad.
Well, that's fine. Then we'll just sign Soto.
No, they'll sign him too.
Oh, both. Okay, gotcha. We'll take Soto.
I like Alonso enough to be willing to do that. But it is going to be interesting to see what kind of year he can have, because remember, it's one thing if he's putting up numbers and they're winning. Yeah. But the winning part of it, is that part of the expectations for this year, Steve Cohen?
I think making the playoffs. I think that would be, obviously last year was a real disappointment. You know, we came in with high expectations and that's, and when you get there, I wasn't expecting what happened. I think we've built up sort of the floor of what's possible. Listen, there are a couple of great teams in the National League, but other than that, I think we're as competitive as any other team.
Curious to see what the Mets are this year, Bart, because I don't think anybody can really predict what they're going to be.
I think this is a team and a group that kind of performs better with no expectations, right? And I think, right, last year was a lot of pressure on him, then injuries hit, and the Edwin Diaz injury. If he's back to being who he was, I think his WAR would be about 5 games, because he's going to come in, shut guys down, save your bullpen a little bit, you know what I mean? And, it's going to be based on, to me, also Marte. Need Marte to be that big bat, right? They haven't had that big bat to protect, Alonso in the lineup, and they need him to get back to form that he was a couple of years ago. He had a disappointing year coming off. I think, what do you have, hernia surgery or oblique surgery or something like that? They need Marte to come back and kind of be that dude again, that protection. Because when he's healthy and playing right, I think he's the spark and the leader on this team a little bit too.
He is 35 years old, by the way. And also, last but not least, from Cohen. So remember when he took over, he had a 5-year plan to win a World Series. That's what he wanted. He had urgency in his voice about winning a World Series. Has that changed?
I said I'd be slightly disappointed. Okay. So just let's clarify that. Okay. But in the end, you got to set big goals. Otherwise, you don't set big goals, you're never going to get there. And we may not get there. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. It's really hard to win a World Series. I mean, some of the best teams in baseball that we've seen over the last 10 years have a hard time winning the World Series. So the whole point is to be competitive, be in the playoffs, be there every year, and give yourself the best shot. And, good things can happen.
A little shade at the Yankees there. I like it. I don't mind it. But you know what? It's one thing. You make a plan when you take over, but if you could change that plan. You're allowed to do that. So you don't need to hold him accountable for something he wanted to do at the start and then realize, it's not going to work this way. And that's fine. Right? So I'm good with it. And let's see if they can just get it done the right way now by building up the farm system, which they are doing now, and trying to be smarter with the spending that he is going to be willing to do.
And brought in a general manager that can operate that plan.
Yeah, that's, David Stearns is very good. Yeah, you could tell. He's already very good. All right. To the Knicks, no OG tonight. He's out already, listed as out for tonight's game against Golden State. But the game against Sacramento was all about Jalen Brunson. Back-to-back 40-point performances, and then a play at the end where the Knicks were up by 3 late in the game, and Jalen Brunson pulled off some Patrick Mahomes mastery by just faking out a young defender and getting a wide open layup.
Brunson running some time. 40 seconds to go. Goes around Ellis, who took his eye off Brunson. Floater is good. 40 points for Jalen Brunson for the 7th time this season. And the Knicks have a 96-91 lead.
Pat O'Keefe on the call there Saturday night. So Keon Ellis, Brunson points to his left as if he's calling for a screen. There was no screen coming. But the kid, Keon Ellis, is looking left, looking right, like he's looking for the screen. Where's it coming? I know it's coming because all they do is screen for this guy. No screen came. Turns his head the wrong way, and Brunson just blows right by him for a layup. And Ellis said he knew that thing was going to go viral.
But I knew it would. But I was really just looking around to see if a screen was coming. And then if there was, I was going to shade him to the side that the screen was coming to. But I was just probably so worried about the screen coming that I didn't worry about him. So, it happens. It's just basketball. It's just things going from for real.
The best is the freeze frame of Ellis's face when he realized that Brunson was right by him.
It's like that Instagram. No. Yeah. Oh, no.
It was like the scream. Like his eyes were wide. His face was like, what? No.
What?
And off he went to make it 96, I should say, to 91. The Knicks ended up winning 98-91. Big news going into the weekend. Tyron Smith signs with the Jets, so the left tackle space, a huge hole in the lineup for that offensive line, has been filled by a 7-time All-Pro that has been through a lot of injuries. And Rich Cimini had this to say about the signing.
Obviously, the market did not materialize the way Tyron Smith had hoped. I think on this deal, which initially was reported as a one-year deal for a max of $20 million, is more along the lines of somewhere in the $6 to $7 million range in terms of guaranteed salary. So it sounds like the Jets got a really good discount on a player who is arguably one of the most decorated linemen in the NFL over the last decade. But, you know, there's the age factor. He's 33. He's missed a bunch of games. He's missed 37 games over the last 4 years. To me, it kind of reflects the sense of urgency that is being felt in the building right now. We know Woody Johnson was not a happy camper at the end of the season and came out publicly and basically put everyone on alert. This move to me reflects the win now mentality that is permeating their facility right now.
Bart, remember when I said, you know, a year like this, a small window, you put all your chips in the middle of the table. This is a move that does that, although it does come with some risk.
It comes with risk, but, I mean, it's calculated risk because you still plan on drafting, I believe, you know, one of the best tackles, you know, in the draft. And you should get if you don't get one of the best left tackles, you're going to get one of the best right tackles because, you know, by the time you get there, top 10, you know, maybe three tackles or four tackles are taken off the board.
I'd be shocked if four went in the top 10.
What's happening with J.J. McCarthy and people starting to get a buzz of them? Who knows what New England's going to do? A lot of the mocks have Marvin Harris Jr. going to them, which you know, puts pressure on Arizona to go out and get them a receiver. So now that's two receivers that's going higher than you expect. And then who knows? You know, maybe like somebody at 11, 12 might move up because they're afraid that somebody's going to drop and get Yeah, I saw the last mock draft. I saw Jaden Daniels going to the Giants.
Wow,
you know what I'm saying? So, like this thing's gonna get crazy, man.
It always does. This is where as we get closer, we're still a little more than a month away from the draft, but this is where the things start, and you start to not believe, like banana in the tailpipe time.
Yeah,
when it comes to the coverage,
everybody, all cap, everybody.
That's Straight Audio Files. Cap. That is not cap. It is Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Coming up, so, you know, some news from around the NFL when it comes to free agency, some of the names that are still available and names that are already moving on. So we'll go through that a little bit of the headlines and more with you. Stay with us. Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart, what are you hearing about Mike Williams? Got anything for us?
No, I got nothing yet, man. I can't get that till I get off the phone, son.
Take it off the air, you mean?
Yeah.
I would think it'd be better to get it while you're on the air, don't you think?
I'd have a better thing. He's going to take his visits, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt if he like they have to blow him away with a big time contract, and I just don't think the Jets have that type of money. Mm. He's gonna definitely go see what type of money out there, because Pittsburgh all of a sudden has become cheap at the quarterback position. So now you think they have two quarterbacks, but they're not paying
when
a
you
lot
say
of money.
Let's make sure you're being clear. I know what you meant. They're not being cheap. They are getting away with not paying.
Yeah, they're paying
a lot
quarterback $5 million. You know, you think about they're paying Russell Wilson $1 million, and then Justin Fields probably like another.
That trade for Justin Fields is a very interesting one. Do you think the Giants, you could have gotten Justin Fields for that?
Yeah, six-round draft pick,
and
bro.
You're not interested?
Yeah, yeah. See, could have got him for a six-round draft pick. But I think really what happened was, you know, Justin Fields, they saw that the market wasn't what they thought it was going to be.
Yep.
And, you know, Justin Fields said, hey, man, I want to be in Pittsburgh. And they at this point, they just wanted to make sure that they looked like they were doing right by the kid and sent him into a perfect situation. And here's the thing, though. You know, a lot of people are saying, like, when you think about it, they're not going to pick up his fifth-year option. So next year he'll be a total free agent. You know what I mean? And if the Steelers are smart, they would give him like a Jordan Love type of contract where, you know, Jordan Love, instead of even playing around with the franchise tag and how much money that is, they gave him like $20 million deal.
Yeah, nice
for
money.
For 1 year, kind of like to prove it, and Jordan Love proved it, and he'll get his $100 million. Because if they really believe that Russell Wilson's going to be their starter, and maybe Russell Wilson plays good enough to keep them in contention and he's going to learn, then what did you give up the draft pick for if he's – simply just going to sit there as a backup all year? You have to have consideration of having him as your future quarterback. So to do that, you got to be talking about, you know, getting a 1 year deal, prove it deal, and then hopefully he's learned your system. He's been there for a year. Then you sign him for 1 year. Then now you have a young quarterback within the division. And if he balls out, then you have to pay him. Like, let's see what Jordan Love gets paid after a 1 year prove it deal, pretty much where he showed that he is the future quarterback. But that's an interesting thing. But also, when you think about that, if they don't do that and he gets a free agency next year, the Giants could just sign him outright. If they offer him 20 and the Giants say, hey, man, we'll give you a 3 year deal for 120, or we'll give you a 2 year deal basically for 80 or 75, then they can outbid him. So, like, it's kind of like Juan Soto. He'll be out there next year, and they'll be. Hell, if Aaron Rodgers wins the Super Bowl and decide to walk away, the Jets can just say, all right, well, come here. We'll take you. But smart by Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh
Juan
may
Soto
have
to play quarterback for the Jets? Juan Soto is going to play quarterback for the Jets? No, I hear you, though.
Is he that talented? You know what I'm saying? But who knows? Maybe.
But the Justin Fields angle of this whole thing is really amazing. Like, first of all, let's also remind everybody that Zach Wilson is still with the Jets. Otherwise, everyone except for Trevor Lawrence that was taken in, all those five quarterbacks in the first round in that draft, only Trevor Lawrence is expected to stay with his team.
You know what's
everybody
crazy?
Else is gone.
You know what's crazy, too, right? If they let Dak Prescott play this year out and just carry that heavy $59 million cap number, which, you know, a lot of people carry high cap numbers sometimes, you know what I mean? If you don't want to give a guy $60 million, $300 million, you know what I mean? $300 million deal, which would probably be what Dak Prescott would be. Like, it'd be five for damn near 300 or 285, you know what I mean? Something like that. They did trade for Trey Lance. And Trey Lance, you know, for a fourth round draft pick. You know, who knows what progress Trey Lance is having and what they're seeing in practice. We know that he was just a young guy that needed experience. So that could be the case. Like, they could say, you know what, we got Trey Lance for nothing. And, you know, we can play by buying better players because now instead of paying our quarterback 60, we paying our quarterback 20 or, you know, 30. Mm. So that could be in play, too, because remember, Trey Lance is out there.
800-919-3776 is the number. We'll go full buffet here in the final hour with lots more to get to with you. That includes, again, the Justin Fields trade is an interesting one. But, the Giants made it pretty clear that he was not on their radar. They went Drew Lock instead. They're keeping Daniel Jones for now. But the plan at quarterback for the Giants is not resolved. Could it be in the draft, their future? Maybe that's why they were out on Justin Fields. But it's mind-boggling to think at what a cheap cost it was to bring him in, and they didn't do it. So we'll discuss that. The Jets have made some moves. But Mike Williams now visiting. What more will it take? Other names that are still available free agency-wise for both these teams to think about as well. And also, we've got to discuss how all these shows do it. We're doing it too. You know, it's March Madness. Everybody has their bracket challenge. We have one for you. And the question I have is, will Bart Scott be on the bubble? Mm. Or will he make it into the field of 64?
A Berkshire bubble.
Lots more to get to, which includes your calls. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So, baseball opening day right around the corner. What to expect for the New York Mets this year? Not exactly high expectations, that is, unless you ask their team owner, Steve Cohen.
I think making the playoffs. I think that would be, obviously last year was a real disappointment. You know, we came in with high expectations, and that's, and when you get there, I wasn't expecting what happened. I think we built up sort of the floor of what's possible. Listen, there are a couple great teams in the National League, but other than that, I think we're as competitive as any other team.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.